Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good morning. My name is Sosthenes. And I want to share with you a little bit today about the wonder, the glory of the resurrection. How God raised Jesus from the dead and how it changed my life. First, a little bit about me. I grew up in a Jewish family. Family who worshiped the one true God, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We gathered together and we longed for the day when God would send his Messiah, the one who would rescue us all. But we had been scattered all over the Mediterranean, and my family ended up in the city of Corinth. Corinth was an interesting city, to say the least. It was a city that people talked about and said, Corinth is not for every man. And by that, they meant it was a city of debauchery, a city where people could get sucked into all sorts of different ways, immorality, and financial ruin. It was a city filled with temples of all different kinds. There were temples to Aphrodite and Artemis and Aeschylus. And there were these massive temples. The biggest of all was the one to Aphrodite. And so every day we would pass by these. We would see them in the marketplace. And it was a central place where people gathered for social. It was also a place where the meat for the city came from. After the meat, the animals were sacrificed in the temples. That meat would be sold in marketplaces and sold to people. But we tried our best as followers of God to remain faithful. We met regularly in the synagogue. This was our place where we gathered for worship, but it was also sort of our community hall, if you will, a place where we gathered as people together and the things we did there. And so we continued on and we continued until there was a day where things changed. And it all began when a man named Paul came to the city. I don't know how much of the story you know, so I'm going to go back just a little ways and tell you a little bit about who Paul was and where he came from and what he was even doing there. It was maybe 20 years earlier, there was a man named Jesus had been traveling around in Galilee. And he'd been proclaiming the kingdom of God, and there were all sorts of debates and questions and controversies surrounding him, but eventually he was arrested, and he was hanged on a cross by the Romans, executed by crucifixion, which in and of itself wasn't that unusual. It was the way Rome demonstrated its power. It was the way that Rome showed that it was in charge. It was the way that Rome put down those it saw as enemies of the state. By hanging someone on a cross, it was Rome's way of saying, don't mess with us because this will happen to you. And so in some ways, Jesus was like any other person who had been hanged on the cross, except a few days after that, he was crucified on a Friday. On the Sunday after that, some of the women who had been his followers went to the tomb, and there they found an angel. And the angel told them that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and they went and told the disciples, and the news spread, and people began to gather in the crowds, and others saw him, and some of his followers began to preach and proclaim that Jesus was the Messiah, the rescuer that God was planning, the Christ, the one who would bring redemption, salvation for everyone. But not everyone saw it that way. One of them was this man named Paul. He was a religious leader, a Pharisee, and he did not believe what these disciples were saying, and so he worked actively against the church. He worked actively against these people following Jesus, and he even persecuted them. Until one day, he was on a road, and he encountered this living Jesus, and after that, he changed, and he began to serve as a missionary, if you will, traveling all over and telling people about who Jesus was. And one of those journeys brought him to Corinth. And there in Corinth, he met two other Jewish people, Priscilla and Aquila, who had come from Rome because of the persecution there, and he began to work alongside them, and he came to the synagogue on every Sabbath, on every Saturday. And he tried to convince people there that Jesus was the Messiah, that this was the one that God had promised. But most of the people, whether they were Jews or Gentiles, it is non-Jews, thought it was foolishness. They couldn't get over the fact that how could a crucified man be God's king? How could that be a demonstration of power? How could that be wisdom? And Paul continued to debate, to argue with them. And eventually they got tired of Paul. And as so often happens when people don't like what's being said, they kicked him out. But Paul returned. And eventually the citizens turned to Gallio, the local proconsul, and appealed to him, said, "Do something about this Paul." And Gallio said, "You're debating theology. I don't have anything to do with that. I'm a politician." And so he moved, he told him out, which would have been okay. I was there and I was watching. I was like, okay, he's not going to deal with this. But the crowd wasn't happy. They wanted somebody to be punished. So they did me. They started beating me. I was like, what is this all about? And so we returned. I returned to the synagogue, and the previous synagogue leader, he had become a follower of Jesus, so I was now in charge of the synagogue. But Paul was still there, and so I continued to listen to him. I continued to hear this message that he was saying, what he called the good news, the gospel. And he explained to me, he said that this Jesus, he died for my sins, according to the scripture, according to the stories that I had heard growing up. Then he'd been put in a tomb, and then he was raised from the dead. Again, according to the scriptures, according to these stories. And then there were people who saw him, not just the women at the tomb, not just the group of small, but huge crowds had seen him alive. And this was the good news. And I listened, and I wondered, and I went back and forth with Paul. I said, I'm not sure, but finally I said, I believe this, that this is true. And he began to show me why it mattered. And he said, especially why the resurrection matters. Why do we celebrate? Why does it matter that Jesus was raised from the dead? And he made it clear to me. He said, because Jesus was raised from the dead, your sins are forgiven. I said, but Paul, I thought you said that happened on the cross. He said, yes and no. Because Jesus died on the cross, but if he just died on the cross and was never raised from the dead, he was like any other criminal that Rome executed. But God raised him from the dead. He vindicated him. He was innocent. And so Jesus' resurrection shows that my sins are forgiven. And I thought back on my life, the things I had done, the things I had said. And we had our system of sacrifices. Of course, the temple was far away in Jerusalem. We knew how God worked. We said, in Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. But Paul went on and he explained, he said, it's not simply your sins are forgiven, but you have life. And there's a connection between those two. And I remembered the stories of my youth. Remember the opening pages of our scripture, the opening scroll where it says, in the beginning, God created. And it talks about God creating the human beings he placed in creation to serve as his images, to serve as his rulers, and how they chose to not listen. How they chose to follow their own way. How they chose what we call sin. And the consequence of sin was death. So Paul said, you see, resurrection deals with sin and it deals with death. Because the sting of sin, the sting of death is sin. And so these two go together. And so it's not simply forgiveness of sins, it's new life. And that's what Jesus said, I came to give you life. So I began to think, it's all about me. It's about my sins being forgiven. And Paul said, no, it's not just that. This resurrection means so much more. It means you have new life right now and your life is called to be different. I said, I don't understand, Paul. Paul was a little hard to understand sometimes. Not always easy. He said, well, here's how it works. And he began to explain to me. He said, you see, when Jesus was resurrected, it was a taste of what was coming. I said, what, Paul? He said, okay, now you knew this. Growing up, you know the stories that we as the people of God knew that in the future, there will come a day when God will raise the dead. There was this hope of resurrection, but it was far off in the future. What Paul said was, with the resurrection of Jesus, that future has happened now. Paul described it as the first fruit, sort of like when you plant something and those are the first blossoms on the tree and you pull that first apple or that first olive and you say, oh, this is it. But you know that's just a taste that there's more coming. And he said, it's the first fruit. So Jesus' resurrection was that future resurrection being pulled into the present, which means we live now in some part in that future resurrection. I said, okay, Paul, I can follow you there a little bit, but what's that got to do with me right now? He said, what it's a call to do is right now to begin to live that future right now. You see, because that future kingdom of God is a place of justice, of peace, of love, of reconciliation. But with the resurrection of Jesus, it's now. And so we're called to live that way now. We're called to live into that now. And I began to see it among my fellow Corinthians, those who chose to follow Jesus, because I would go and we would have meals together. And there would be Jews and Gentiles and slave and free and men and women, rich and poor, all sitting together at a meal. And Paul said, you see that? You see those people sitting around that table together? That's a taste. That's a picture of that future resurrection that's been brought into now because of Jesus. And not only that, he's saying, this body that you live in now, in some way it will be a part of that future. So what you do with your body right now makes a difference. How you spend your time, how you use your resources, your sexuality, your thoughts, your speech, all those things matter right now. But he went on and he said, it's not just simply not doing the bad things and doing good, but he says, the things you do now, God somehow will weave into the future. So your art, your poetry, your kind words, your love for others, all of those things that are who you are now, all those things that are pictures of the kingdom that you do now, will be brought into the future. He said, this community that you're a part of is a picture of that. That's the power of the resurrection. That's the wonder of the resurrection. And I began to see it. I said, this resurrection is more than just about me and my sins. This resurrection is more than just about me and new life. It's about a community filled with life. And yes, it is a hope of a future resurrection for me. It's this guarantee that I too will be raised, that this body that will one day die will be raised. It means that there's nothing to be afraid of. Because at the root of it all, our greatest fear is death. Our greatest fear is everything we do, all the things we do, so much of what we do is in some part of fear of death. We skeeve, we connive, we worship other gods. We all try and find different ways to get by, to cheat death, to live a little bit better, but in the end, we don't. And so this promise of the resurrection is something that goes and helps me live my life now. Paul said, what are you afraid of? And I thought of all the things I'm afraid of. And he said, it's all been swallowed up in the resurrection. God has defeated death, and if he's defeated that, he's defeated all these other things you're worried about. And so I said, Paul, I believe. He said, you don't need to just believe it up here. You need to believe it here. And you need to put your trust in Jesus. You need to give him your allegiance. You need to put your faith in him and follow him. And so I did. And eventually Paul moved on. He moved on from Corinth. And we continued on and living, trying to live on and practice this resurrection. But things fell apart a little bit. People were people. They didn't get along so well. They disagreed with one another. Some people thought they were special and looked down on other people. And it was a mess. And eventually Paul wrote a letter to us about it. And we wrote a letter back to him with all kinds of questions. And they said, you need to take this letter to Paul. So I took the letter to Paul. And I took the letter we had written to Paul. And he said, we need to send them another letter. And so we sat down and we wrote a letter. And we reminded the people in Corinth of Jesus' love. This love that looked like the cross. This love that was giving and self-giving. He said, this is the kind of life you need to live. And near the end of the letter, we wrote about the resurrection. You heard a little bit of that just a few minutes ago. Now you might think, why did you wait till the end of the resurrection? Was it just a little bit of extra? No, the resurrection was the foundation, but it was a reminder of what God had done. It was a reminder that the resurrection is a foundation of all these things. It was the foundation of forgiveness. It was the foundation of this new life. It was the foundation of our hope and our fears. And so we wrote, and Paul and I were writing this letter back to the Corinthians, and Paul drew from the prophets, and he said, death has been swallowed up in victory. He said, all that sin that's in your life, all those things that you're thinking about, those unkind words you've said, the things you've stolen, the things you've done, the way you've looked down on others, the way you've degraded others, the way you've enacted violence together, in Jesus, those are forgiven. They've been swallowed up in the victory of Jesus. He said, you can live this new life now by the power of the resurrection. You can begin to live this new life because death has been swallowed in victory. The grave has no sting. Death has no sting. It's been defeated. And I was reminded once again of the power and the hope of the resurrection. And that's what we sing of today. That's what we celebrate this day, is that Jesus has conquered death. Death has been swallowed in victory. The greatest of our enemies has been defeated. It used to have a sting because we've all felt that sting of death, the pain. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's our fear of our own impending death. There's something that's going on, and it's like the sting of an animal, and it stings deep. And on the day of resurrection, remember, it's lost its sting. The sting is gone. Why? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. It's lost its sting because God has raised Jesus and has conquered death and sin. The sting of sin that keeps me down is gone. I'm forgiven. And that fills me with hope. It fills me with joy. And I hope it does for you too. That when we put our trust in Jesus, when we give him our allegiance, when we put our faith in him, when we decide to follow him, that we too can experience that. That same God who raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise us too. But he also gives us new life and new life now. Death has been swallowed in victory. The grave has no sting. Death has no sting. There is no victory there, but the ultimate victory comes in Jesus Christ. And so we give praise to God for his victory we find in Jesus. When I was in Corinth, I would have never expected that. I sat and I walked and I lived in a hope of a future. But in Jesus, that future had been brought into the present. Future hope. And so my prayer for you this day is that you might experience that hope today too. That you might experience the joy and the wonder of the resurrection, to know that death has been swallowed in victory. That the grave has no sting, that death has no sting. That in Jesus, God has given us victory. In Jesus, death has been conquered. In Jesus, sin has been conquered. In Jesus, the powers, the principalities, the devil have been conquered. That we have been invited to participate in this new life of Jesus. To live as a community now. So my prayer might be for you as a community that in the coming days, that the way you live together, the way you treat one another, might be a picture, a glimpse of that future kingdom. On those days when you're struggling and you're wondering and you're without hope, you can look to the resurrection and say, Jesus has swallowed up death in victory. On those days when you're afraid, you can say, I don't need to be afraid anymore because Jesus has swallowed up death in victory. Death is dead. Love is won. Christ has conquered. The bars have been torn away. We've been called out of his darkness and into his glorious light. In him, we experience life and new life. And so this day we celebrate and remember that death has been swallowed up in victory, that Jesus has conquered, that Jesus has won, that this is a day of life and a day of hope. We remember this day that Christ is risen. Christ is risen.